Today is Saturday, the 4th of November, and we are gathered here for the 106th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Panthe Homagama Dhammakusala Thero representing Nissaramane, who will join today's session. On behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Panthe with great respect to today's session. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you joining through Zoom and the live stream over Facebook to today's session. We will run the program commencing with in-session practice for mindfulness, and then we will move on to the talk for today's topic, and then we will wrap up the program after the question and answer session, where we present verbal and written questions or statements on your practice. So to commence things, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence in-session practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. So today we'll do a sitting session to start our program. For this, you have to make sure that you are seated comfortably. Adjust your posture, make sure that you are comfortable. Once you are comfortable in your posture, you can close your eyes gently. Bring your attention to the present moment. Notice what is happening in the now. You may feel your body. And there may be surrounding sounds. Time to time, thoughts, emotions may also appear. Just notice what comes and goes. Allow things to flow naturally while you're noticing the present moment, while you're noticing what is happening. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. That's few minutes of mindful sitting, just to give you an idea. With that, now, Namantha, we can move forward.
Thank you very much, Pante, and much message to you. Next, we have the talk on mindfulness based on the topic chosen for today. I would like to invite Bhante to commence the talk. Over to Bhante again.
Okay, everyone. Today, we have a new topic. So, we'll try and take some time to explain what we are trying to discuss today. So, when we think about time, we think that the time is very important. We think time is precious, and we want to utilize our time in the best way. Even we want to utilize the time more efficiently. That's what we are trying. That's what we are doing. If you think about your daily schedule, you may plan a lot of things. You try to achieve a lot within a day, right? So that way we try. That way we try to be more efficient. Try to achieve many things in a day, in a short period, right? So that's what we do. And we try to plan tomorrow. We think about yesterday and see what went wrong. You find out ways to utilize your time better from your past experience. And you plan your tomorrow based on that. So this way we are in a struggle with time, because we think the time is precious. Starting from your school years, you try to achieve a lot within a day. You go to school, you try to get good grades. Then you move to the maybe middle school, high school, university. Like that, you try to move forward in your life. And we have a whole history about our achievements. We have a whole history about the things that we have done in the past, right? So this way, we have a sense of time. In a way, in our memory, we have a sense of time. So based on that sense of time, we try to achieve much better results in the future. Future also, we try to plan based on our past experiences. If we had something bad, we try to avoid it in the future. If something was pleasant, we try to gain that again and again. We try to have that experience again and again in the future. So this way, we are in a struggle with time. We worry about past, we learn lessons from past, then we try to plan our future. So this struggle is there because we think the time is precious. But we are here to tell you that this idea of time, or this idea of psychological time, it's just an illusion. Just an illusion. And if you go after an illusion, if you chase after an illusion, what would be the result? You will be sick and tired because you are chasing after an illusion. You are trying to achieve an illusion, right? So when you chase after an illusion, the result will be tiredness. The result will be frustration, right? So that's what happens to most of the people. They chase after this illusion and they end up sick and tired. They end up frustrated. They say, I have tried so much, but I am not at peace. I have tried so much, but I can't achieve this and that. I have tried so much. Because of these things, I am not happy. Those people will tell you. In a way, they try to achieve some future state where they would be happy. They are not happy in the present moment. They are not happy with what they have achieved. Instead, they want to have something better in the future. maybe a better person, better company, maybe better job or better luxuries. So that way we struggle because we don't like the present moment. We don't like what we have. Instead, we need to get something else. We want that. And when we have that something else, we'll be happy. In an unknown future day, we'll be happy. So that is the struggle most people are in. But if this idea of time or this psychological time, if it's an illusion, then what is precious? Somebody might ask. Because you thought that the time is precious. If the time is not precious, what is precious? We can say the now, the present moment, that is precious. And the present moment is a point which is out of time. It is timeless, right? So that moment is precious, right? If you bring your attention to the present moment, you are trying to grab or you are trying to embrace this precious moment, the present moment. It doesn't give you an idea of time. You have to have either past or future to have an idea of time. The illusion is created in your mind based on the past and the future. In the present moment, it is timeless. You don't get an idea of time. Let's say a meditator, they walk in a comfortable manner and they try to be mindful. They try to embrace the present moment. They sit in a comfortable manner. They try to embrace the present moment. That is what we do as meditation. Every day, for like at least like 20 minutes, you walk in a comfortable manner, trying to embrace the present moment. You sit in a comfortable manner, trying to embrace the present moment. This way, when you practice, initially, you notice that your mind is always analyzing the past and planning the future. This is usual to our mind. Even during the meditation, it is analyzing the past and planning the future. You notice your breath. You think about your breath. And maybe your mind wonder how to write a meditation report about this breath. Right? So that is analyzing past and future. You think about, you analyze your past experience with the breath and you think about writing a report based on that. Right? So this is natural to our mind. You don't have to worry about it. Just notice how the mind is creating this illusion of time. How the mind is creating this psychological time. It is analyzing the past, it is planning the future. This way again and again, even during the meditation, you can feel how the mind is analyzing, how the mind is creating this illusion of time, right? So that's natural for a beginner. It is naturally coming. We say it's okay. Just notice this process that is happening. Just notice how you are analyzing the past. Just noting how you are planning the future. With that observation, with that awareness, you can again and again bring your attention to the present moment. Notice the breath. Notice the steps. So this way you have to continue with your practice. Not just a day, not just a week, but instead for some time, few months, you continue gradually. Keep practicing. And when you do it for a while, you start to realize when your mind is fully present, when your mind is fully with the present moment feels timeless. It doesn't give an idea of time. It doesn't give a sense of time, right? You are totally embracing the present moment. And you feel like you are out of time. You don't get an idea of time passing, right? So that's why most people, if they are fully present, they start to notice that the time slips. There are chunks of times that you wasn't aware. You knew you were mindful, you knew you were there, but you couldn't have the sense of time. You didn't feel that idea of time. So that's a good observation, that you are observing the present moment, that you are embracing the present moment. Usually for beginners, they don't feel this. But when you mature in your meditation, naturally you start to feel this, that your mind slips. You lose time for small chunks, maybe just for a few minutes. You lose time. You don't have the idea of time. You don't have the illusion of time. And during those moments, your mind is fully peaceful. There is no stress. There is no tension in your mind. Instead, it's at peace. It is fully calm and peaceful. Again, the illusion appears. Again, the psychological time appears. Again, the analyzing mind comes. Again, the planning mind comes. With that, you feel the stress appears, the anxiety appears. That's natural. But the meditator, when they continue their practice, they again notice that the mind goes to the timeless. The mind embraces the present moment. You are out of time for a few more seconds. Then again, you return to the illusion of time. So this way, you can notice that the meditation, it goes in cycles. You can notice the illusion appears, the illusion of time, then the reality or the timeless appears. Again, the illusion appears, again the timeless appears. So this way, you can feel how the meditation is going in circles. It's like, you know, same loop, you are rotating again and again. And you have to allow those circles to pass. It's not just a one circle, not just a two, but instead allow them to pass again and again. So that is the idea of the practice. Gradually you have to develop this. You can't intentionally go there. Instead, what you have to do is that you have to try to be present. Walk in a comfortable manner, bring your attention to the walking body. Sit in a comfortable manner, bring your attention to the seated body. That way, you have to be present. That's the only thing you can do. And when you continue with it for a while, then you start to realize that your mind is fully embracing the present moment. Well, how do you know that it is embracing the present moment? You lose the idea of time. You become timeless for a while. You feel that the time slips for few seconds, few minutes. So that's a good idea that we get in meditation, that our mind is fully present. Right? So that's the idea. Now, let's say even the word Buddha, what is the meaning of that word? The meaning is that the awakened one. That's the meaning of word Buddha. There was this story about a young man seeing the Buddha and praising him for his appearance, praising him for the energy that surrounds him. And he asked the Buddha, How should I know you? What's the name I should call you? He said, call me the awakened one. Call me the Buddha. Right? So that was the answer Buddha gave. So awakened to what? If he is the awakened one, awakened to what? That's the question. Right? Awakened to the present moment. Awakened to the present moment. He is fully awake. He knows when he walks, he knows that he is walking. When he is sitting, he knows that he is sitting. When he is talking, he knows that he is talking. When he is doing some other thing, he knows that he is doing those things. So in a way, he is fully awakened to the present moment, or awakened to the timeless moment. That's the idea of the Buddha, right? So when we try, initially, although we try, we are not even close to Buddha, because our mind is always in that illusion of time. Again and again, planning the future, analyzing the past, that's how our mind works. But with repetitive practice, you start to feel chunks of Buddha within you. Maybe just for a single breath, you start to feel that you are one with the Buddha. Maybe just for a single step, you start to feel that you are one with the Buddha. Right? So that way, gradually, the Buddha nature appears in you. You too become an awakened one. And the signs are, you start to lose the illusion of time. You start to feel incremental levels of peace within. So those are signs that you are also becoming closer and closer to the Buddha. Or the Buddha nature is appearing in you. Right? So that's the idea of meditation. Right? You are fully awake when you walk. You know that you are walking. When you sit, you know that you are seated. When you eat, you know that you are eating. When you drink something, you know that you are drinking. When you take a shower, you know that you are showering. So that way, gradually, little by little, the Buddha nature appears within you. Little by little, you develop the ability to be more and more present. That is the experiment that we are doing. That's why we recommend daily meditation. Otherwise, no point in meditating. What is the purpose of meditating? Right? If you know this idea, what else to know? You might ask. Right? Although you listen to this idea or maybe read a book, you still don't have that capacity. Capacity to be present, you don't have. You might think that you are present while analyzing the future, while planning the future, while analyzing the past. You might think that you are present. But actually, when you meditate only, you develop this capacity. When you meditate only, you start to feel that your mind is gradually becoming more and more present. In a way, you yourself becomes a Buddha. Gradually, that Buddha nature is appearing in you. What you have to do is that you have to keep your motivation, and you have to make sure that you are doing repetitive practice, right? That repetitive practice is important. Otherwise, we are forgetting to meditate. We are forgetting to be present. Let's imagine a work day. You wake up early in the morning, trying to do 101 things and get to the workplace on time, right? On such a day, you can't even think about meditation. You can't even think about being present. But you have to remind yourself again and again. You have to have certain reminders. You have to keep your motivation high and try to continue your daily task while trying to be more and more present. Usually a busy person, they are always watching their clocks. They try to see whether they are on time. They make sure that their watch is working. If the watch is not working, then it's a huge issue. Right? So they are always having a clock with them. They have a watch or either their phone. They make sure that the watch works. They make sure that they know the exact time. Right? But nowadays, maybe especially for the meditators, there's a new type of watches. It is called now watch. When you watch the time, when you check the time, it will say, now is the time. Right? The time is now. And that is precious. If you go on internet, if you search now watch, it will appear. It is saying the time is now. Right? It won't give any other data. But it is mentioning you, it is reminding you that this is the precious moment, the timeless moment, the present moment. That is what's precious. It is reminding you to be more and more present in your daily activities. Try to pay attention to the task at hand. Initially, it might be difficult, but with repetitive training, of course, you become much better at it. Of course, you can develop the capacity to be present more and more. So that's the idea. With repetitive practice, you can achieve this. And when you meditate, naturally, you start to be less interested in the illusion of time. Or the past and the future, you start to be less interested. Right, so that's a sign of a meditator. Maybe not for a beginner, but when they practice for some time, they start to lose the importance in past. They start to lose the importance in future. Instead, they are more and more present. So some people, they find this life-threatening. They think that they can't function in this world when they lose this illusion. They think they can't work in this world when they lose this illusion, right? So that's life-threatening for some people. They don't like it. They say, I can't do my work. I can't work with my children. I can't do these things if I lose the illusion. That's why they want to hold fast to the illusion. They want to make sure that they are not letting go of this illusion. But it's just a phase, and you realize you are not continuously thinking about the past. You are not continuously thinking about the future. Of course, you remember things. Of course, you remember the past. Of course, you know what's on your to-do list. But you are not continuously thinking. And whenever you need to think, you can think. But whenever that's done, you can let it go and just let it be. That ability is developing. Your mind is embracing the present moment more and more. You spend less and less time thinking about the past and planning the future. Whenever you need, you can think. But once that task is done, again, your mind is embracing the present moment. Again, your mind is at peace. This peace, most people, they don't like it. Now, even yesterday, somebody was sharing their experience about their meditation. And this very person, the same person, maybe a few months ago, she was complaining that the mind is not peaceful. She was saying that the mind is so all over the place. The thoughts are there, so many things are there. See, she can't even meditate because this is how her mind is. She can't even pay attention to the task she is doing because of this mind. It's all over the place. 1001 mind objects are there in her mind. So that was the complaint she was giving. And she was telling that she can't meditate because of this. So many thoughts are there, Bhante, I can't meditate. So many emotions are there, Bhante, I can't meditate. That was the initial complaint. But we suggested, we recommended that although the thoughts are there, among those thoughts, just embrace the present moment. Not for a long time. Maybe you can just notice few breaths. Again, the mind get lost in those thoughts. But again, you can bring it back after a while, embrace few breaths. So that way, we recommended her to continue with her practice. Then after a few months, yesterday she was complaining, now no mind objects are there. And I'm not happy with this current state because I feel like I am silent. The mind is silent. And I feel like there are more and more spaces, empty capacity in my mind. So when you are used to the worldly mind, when you are used to this chaotic mind, when it becomes peaceful, you don't like it. When the mind is embracing the present moment, you don't like it. You feel like it's strange. You feel like this new reality is weird. That is a natural complaint because we want to keep that illusion. We prefer that illusion than the reality. That's why we are complaining. My mind is silent. I feel like I am missing something. I don't like this new state. In a way, you are saying you don't like the peace. In a way, you are saying you don't like the quietness. That's how most people are. But we have to tell them, because of your meditation, few months of hard work, you have achieved this. Now try to get used to this new reality. Now try to get used to this new state of mind. Now it is more peaceful. Now you see that less noise, less chaos is there in your mind. So isn't that a good thing? It's a good thing, but you are not used to this because you have known that chaotic mind for your entire lifetime. Due to the meditation practice, after a few months of practice, you start to experience this new state of mind, which is at peace, which is more quiet, which is having less stress, less anxiety. So that way, you try to get used to this new state. Meditators, they are usually evolving their reality. When they meditate, their reality is always changing. You can't see it within a day or two, but it is always changing. That's why we say, even a single conscious breath, it counts. Even a single conscious step, it counts. It is helping your practice, but you don't see the results right away. Instead, you have to continue for a few weeks, few months. Then only you'll see the results. You'll see that your reality has changed. Now your mind is different compared to the earlier. Now your mind is at peace compared to the earlier. Now your mind is more quiet compared to the earlier. Now your mind is having less stress compared to the earlier. So that's a good observation that your practice is working. That's a good observation that your meditation is working. You don't have to fear this new state. You don't have to fear going out of this illusion. Right? Instead, you gradually get used to it. Gradually, just try to find ways to deal with it. That's the idea of the practice, and you realize you become much more efficient. You remember things, of course. Whenever you need it, it's there. But you are not continuously thinking about it. What's the purpose of that thinking? Did it do any good for you? No. Yesterday I watched this documentary about somebody, and he was saying he was in the university for 13 years. During those 13 years, he learned how to think. Now he is 75 years old. He is saying the rest of my life I have to spend learning how not to think. Because I have spent 13 years in a university, the rest of my life, I have to spend learning how not to think. Right? So that's the main issue with our education. We, for so many years, we learn how to think. But the meditators, they learn how not to think. Right? How to stop this thinking mind, how to be at peace, how to quiet this thinking mind. That is the skill we are developing. If you think that thinking mind, if you think that illusion is helping you, then you have to spend more time trying to figure it out. Maybe when you experience more and more stress in your life, you will realize that the thinking mind is not helping me. Maybe when you experience anxiety, your family problems, problems at work, then you'll realize this thinking mind is not helping me. One day, somehow you will realize that this thinking mind is not helping. Instead, thinking is a tool. You can use it whenever necessary. You can analyze the past. You can plan the future. Then when the work is done, just keep the tool aside. The thinking tool, if you can use like that, then of course that is useful. Otherwise, we are always thinking, creating stress, creating anxiety, and achieving nothing. So the meditators, in a way, they learn the art of not thinking. Right? They try to undo what they have learned during the school time. They try to undo what they have learned during the work. Now they are developing this skill, how to think less, or how not to think. That is the idea behind meditation. And with time, you can really see that it is happening and it is changing your reality. You are becoming more and more peaceful in your mind. Now, there was this documentary about somebody who is having 30 seconds of memory. The documentary is titled A Man with 30 Seconds Memory. He's having this that issue due to an illness. Maybe if I can remember correctly, due to amnesia, he is having that problem. His memory is only lasting for 30 seconds, right? Due to this issue, he has to be in a special facility. And when the wife is coming to visit him, he can't remember her, right? Or he has the old memories, but he can't make new memories. So he can't remember that she visited yesterday. But he still recognizes that it's his wife, right? So when she's coming to visit, this person is welcoming his wife like nothing. He's kissing her, hugging her, saying that, "Where have you been? I haven't seen you for a long time." So he is enjoying the visit because he hasn't seen her for a long time, right? Maybe after talking for some time, the lady goes to take a break. Then after the break, when she returns, again the same reaction, because it's been more than 30 seconds. So she can't remember. He can't remember that she's already here. So again, giving a whole new welcome for the wife. So this way, that person is functioning. A man with 30 seconds memory. Right? So he can't make new memories. Whatever happens, he's embracing that present moment fully, maybe due to the illness, but still he is embracing that present moment. There is no anxiety, no stress in his mind because the memory is not there, right? But there is only one issue. He knows that he has some kind of a sickness. Due to that sickness, he is forgetting. He knows that. So he has this aversion towards this situation. He's not accepting this situation. He doesn't like it. Whenever somebody asks, did you forget it? He gets angry. He gets mad. Because he knows that he is having an illness. And this state of mind, he has some aversion towards it. Right? So that's the only obstacle for him to be at peace. Because he's hating this state. He has aversion towards this state. But in a way, the meditators, they try to welcome this state. Not because of an illness, but instead, as a result of the meditation, they try to welcome this present moment. They try to welcome this timeless. When you are in the present moment, you have no memory. If it goes to the memory, of course, the memory is created because of the analyzing the past, planning the future. Otherwise, if you are fully present, then you won't remember anything. Memory is created out of the past and future struggle. Right? So the meditators, they start to see chunks of memory losses. They remember sitting for meditation, 30 seconds gone by, 30 minutes gone by, and they wake up and realize, I have spent 30 minutes and I can't remember sitting there. Maybe you walk for 1 hour, and at the end of the walking session, there is nothing to say. You haven't remembered anything. So you can see, you are embracing the present moment. You talk to people. When you talk to them, you are fully aware, you are giving proper answers, everything you are doing correctly. But maybe after a few hours, you can't even recall whether you have given such an answer. But when you gave that answer, you were present, you were fully aware. Right? So you can see how the present moment is changing our life situation, changing our life status. Most people, if their mind is not present, if their mind is always in the past and future, they can remember very well. Whatever happens, every word they can remember. The date they can remember, the time they can remember, they'll tell you exactly. Maybe like some kind of a program, they'll tell you, on this day, 1997, you sent me this. Or you sent me a text saying this. I'm still mad. After 30 or so years, I'm still mad. Right? So that's the memory at work. That's the thinking mind at work. But instead, if you embrace the present moment, you'll be at peace. Of course, you'll be functioning. Of course, you'll be doing whatever necessary. Of course, you'll be facing your day-to-day challenges, but you'll be at peace because you're out of the illusion. You are embracing the reality. You're out of the illusion of time. You are embracing the timeless. So thank you for listening. That's the idea I want to give today.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much message to you. Next, I will invite Anup Kumar to commence a Q&A session, and I will share the screen for the beginner's introduction. Thank you.
Avasarai, Bhante. Hello, everybody. I hope you can hear me well now, Mantha.
Yes.
Okay. So I will start by speaking about the Mindfulness for Beginners in English guide. Most of you probably already are familiar with this, but this is mostly for the benefit of those who may want a recap or who are new. We would recommend that you would start by please watching some basic instruction videos on mindful walking and sitting. As you can see, Namant has kindly shared the screen, which has the links, the YouTube links to the mindful walking and mindful sitting sections. He's also just now shared the information in the message or the chat. we would ideally advise you to allocate a small time daily and start practicing mindfulness with walking and sitting. Continue this training for a few days until you have completed at least 2 hours of practice in both. Once you have completed this, you are most welcome to send us a report so we can share it with each other and learn through it. We would suggest that you write down your experience as a reflection report, either with a question or as a statement. You can write your mindfulness experience under various titles, including walking, mindful walking, sitting. You could describe the walking, sitting, what you recognized as you were doing so in the various postures. You can describe the prominent sensations while doing both, such as the texture of the ground, pressure points on the sole, how the body shifted from one leg to the other, etc. For the mindful sitting, you can similarly do the same. You could also comment on incoming and outgoing breath at the nostrils and the movement of your breathing, for example, rising and falling of your abdominal chest. Once your report has been done, you could share it with us either via a Google form or via the email, which have both been posted in the chat. And finally, continue your mindfulness practice according to the advice given once your report has been presented. And all the recorded sessions of the Mindfulness for Beginners is available in the Nisarane Vane website. Again, the link has been shared in the chat. I will now proceed to reading the reports. We've received 2 reports today. Report number 1, walking meditation. Walked on tiled floor, noting left and right foot being placed initially, then lifting, moving, placing. Noting mind wandering and then returning to seat. Aches in parts of legs after some time, not distracting. Urge to get a drink, resisted to continue walking. Walked 35 minutes. Sitting meditation. After observing posture, adjusted body to sit more symmetrically. Watched breath as primary object. Mind observed expansion of chest. Thoughts arose with some distraction. Doorbell rang, making the body jump and started going to door. As heard someone answering the door, went back to meditation. Mind went back to breath, which was subtle and disappeared. Mind became calmer, but noted to go from breath to more thoughts. Back for 45 days. Daily mindfulness. More aware of actions during day and also catching more thoughts as they arise. Sometimes before the storytelling begins. Noted mind recognizing greed, dislike, impatience, joy, contentment, happiness, generosity, and sadness arising. Observing non-agitation in situations which previously would have caused more upset. With much gratitude to Bante and organizers. End of report 1.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, when you mentioned that sitting experience and even in the walking experience, there are certain urges, right? Go drink some water. That urge is there. Then even the sitting session, when you hear the doorbell, the body jumps. That urge, even it didn't wait till your approval. Instead, the body reacted. You went ahead with it. Right? So this is how it works. Some mergers, they come and, you know, take our approval. Some mergers, even without getting approval, they function, right? So that's how it is. Even your daily life, let's say the emotions, various emotions are there. Some of them, of course, you can observe. Some of them, they might function even without the awareness, without the observation, right? Certain parts, you feel that you have control. Certain parts, you feel that you don't have control, right? But still, the observation is important. That is the idea of the practice. We are not trying to get everything under control. That's not possible. Because majority of the body-mind activities, they are unconscious. Right? Only the surface level you have control. Right? You think you are controlling your body. But can you control whether to get sick or not? No. Right? How long the body will last? Can you control that? No. Everything is unconscious. The processes are happening. Due to the causes, the things will happen. And you only work in the surface level. Even the mind is also the same. Body, mind, both are the same thing. Both are working in that manner. Right? So we are just scratching the surface. Right? We realize certain things are happening. You have no control. Certain things come and take your approval. So that's fine. You have a conscious choice. Right? So this is the observation that we are doing. When you reach this level, we have to tell you, don't get frustrated due to the unconscious things. You make mistakes, don't get frustrated. Certain things happen, don't get frustrated. Right? You are not responsible for them because it was not intentional. It was not intentional, right? Only the conscious part you have to be responsible. Otherwise, the very observation will create a mess in your life. You start this pain-seeking behavior because you see certain parts are not under your control. Sometimes you get angry. You only notice after 30 or 40 minutes. Sometimes you do things because of the jealousy. You only notice after doing them. So most people, they start this pain-seeking behavior, complaining that I blame this person, I was angry for so many minutes, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe they'll tell that I did these things because of the jealousy, I couldn't control myself. Right? So those things are natural to this mind, because most of the majority of the things are unconsciously happening. Only the surface level, you have control, certain control. Only the surface you are stretching, right? But this observation is very much important. We don't judge the observation. Sometimes we have control, we have the observation. Sometimes we have no control. Still we know that it has happened. That's all you need. You don't have to take everything under your control. That is not humanly possible. Instead, allow the mind and body to continue its own process while knowing that these things are happening. While making conscious choices when you can, right? So that very observation you have to do. So many related information are there in your own report. So I am getting the details, getting the information out of your own report and just reflecting them back to you. So you have to make sure that certain things will happen. You have no control. Sometimes you get carried away after doing something wrong. You will realize it. But that's fine. Just be more compassionate towards yourself. Accept that you have faults. Accept that you are defected. Know that these certain things are still happening unconsciously. That's fine. again and again, we continue with our observation. That very observation is the important thing. Let's say when you observe your jealousy, you are not one with the jealousy anymore. Earlier you were one with the jealousy. Right now, you have separated yourself just by that observation. Jealousy is one thing and you are the observer. Anger is one thing and you are the observer. Sadness is one thing, you are the observer. Right? That very observation will save you. You create this distance from this process. When you can, you create, not all the time. Sometimes you are caught, that's fine. Be compassionate towards yourself. Especially for meditators, we have to again and again tell them, be compassionate towards oneself. Don't get into this pain-seeking behavior. For the sake of the practice, they get into this pain-seeking behavior. Right? So we have to tell them, be compassionate towards yourself. Make sure that you know what the true process is. Know that certain things are unconscious. Certain things are conscious. For the unconscious things, you can't take responsibility. Right? For the things you have under control, you can make conscious choices. That compassion, that self-compassion should be there for a meditator. Otherwise, they'll get into this pain-seeking behavior. So that's the idea I want to give. Continue this observation. Certain mistakes will happen. You too are defected. That's fine. We continue again and again with our observation, knowing that we are defected, knowing that we make mistakes. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. I will now move on to report number 2. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion in a comfortable position. A body scan took place. Some pressure and pins and various sensation noted. When attention moved to breath, it was prominent. Various thoughts arose, but there was little proliferation. Attention moved between the sensation of breath and thoughts. After a while, the mind felt calm. The pressure where back was pressed against the cushion and pins and needles sensations in other places noted. Sat for 45 minutes. After the sitting session, noted there was restlessness in mind. Although, due to the continuous practice, this was observed but not reacted to. Mindful walking. Use the exercise walk to be mindful. With shoes on and walking fast, the sensations of movements changed quickly. Attention would move from feet to weight shifting. Sometimes, to cold air touching the face. Position of standing still when waiting to cross the road. Walked for 40 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. There was a lot of restlessness in the mind last couple of weeks. Notice that this wasn't a constant, but would arise and pass away quickly and persistently. Feedback from clinical supervisors confirmed what was known already, that there is too much work in the schedule, and if not reduced or adjusted, low immunity or illness could be the outcome. Already was feeling the low immunity. Having considered the imbalance and internal and external feedback, chose to reduce the workload and thereby release some time for listening to more Dhamma talks, more formal practice, and spend more quality time with family. This won't be instant change, but gradual, so we'll observe what happens in the next few weeks. Noted how things can get out of balance more easily when managing own service and when working for an external employer where they usually have systems in place to avoid employee burnout. Although restlessness and stress were noted, less and less reaction to it too. There was a couple of times when strong reactions arose and had firm conversations with others. But overall, the mind is learning a bit more patience and that this shall also pass. Dear Bhante, Look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organization. End of report 2.
Okay, so this shows how the observation can help you. Now, you are your own teacher, right? You know that these things are there. You know that restlessness is there, maybe because of having too much to do, too much work, right? So due to that observation, you can do changes. You can make sure that you are not burning out, right? So these days, they work 24/7. They do many things. They do even the, you know, responsibilities at work, responsibilities at home, doing everything for their children, right? But suddenly, they break down, burnouts, right? So that happens to many people. Mother was doing everything for them. Suddenly, she got sick. Why? Because having too much work. Now the children can't even function because they are not used to doing them on their own, right? So you have to make sure that you do the things that are necessary, but make sure that you have some quality time for yourself. That's what meditation is all about. You just be walking. We are not trying to reach somewhere. Instead, we just be. Sitting, we are not trying to achieve anything. Instead, we just be. Meditation is more about non-doing rather than doing. Right? So that just being will release your stress. Just being will make you peaceful. Right? So this observation, you have to continue. You have to make sure that the things are balanced. Otherwise, you will be doing them for a short period. But what we are aiming is we try to continue this practice, continue this life as long as we can, right? Otherwise, burnouts, they get sick in their mind, they get sick in their body, they can't even meditate, they can't even do their family responsibilities. What's the purpose? So you have to make sure that you are taking care of yourself. Even yesterday, I told to somebody, that person is not eating properly, right? Not interested. But food is more like medicine for this body. If you don't take enough food, then the body won't last. Some people, they are after pleasure seeking, like eating too much. That's one end. Then eating too little, that's another end. So you have to find a balance in between. Otherwise, how can you meditate if the mind and the body is not properly working? How can you meditate? How can you do your responsibilities if the mind and body is not properly working? Right? So you have to make sure that you are feeding this body. Right? It's not like pleasure seeking, like traveling around the world, eating different foods. That's one end. But also not feeding your body enough, not taking care of your body is another extreme. Right? So you have to make sure that you are eating something enough, sufficient for your body. And not only eating, you have to exercise your body. Right? That too is important, at least like 30-40 minutes. You have to sweat. Maybe 3 days per week. Those things are basic functions, basic self-care options, right? If you don't do those things, then you won't go far, right? So you have to make sure that you are exercising every day. Eat healthy, eat well, right? With that foundation only we can meditate. With that foundation only we can do our daily responsibilities. If you don't have that foundation, then you can't meditate, you can't do your things, do your responsibilities. What's the purpose? So having a sufficient meal and exercising, those things are very important. Especially for meditators, the long-time meditators, we recommend exercising their bodies properly. Especially these residential retreats, the long-time meditators, we have to again and again remind them to exercise their body. They get into this meditating mood and, you know, they want to be still. They don't even like moving their body. They don't even like talking to somebody. And soon, they'll be sick in their mind. Mental illness, right? That'll come. Not because of the meditation, because of their wrong attitude. They are not exercising their body, right? So they are giving too much power to their mind. That's why they say after a good workout, no sadness can survive. No worries can survive. It goes out with the sweat, right? Because that's how it is. So you have to make sure that you are exercising your body, right? Not only for meditation, even for your daily functioning, it's important. Even for meditators, especially long-time meditators, especially for monks, especially for nuns, especially for yogis, we are recommending exercising their body. Usually when they get into a meditating mood, they don't like exercising, they don't like sweating, they don't like moving their body, they don't like talking to other people. Soon they'll be sick, sick in the mind and body. Right? Mental illness will come. Right? So you have to make sure that you are exercising your body. You are eating healthy. That foundation is important. Those are basic things about self-care. Taking a shower, that's important. Making sure that your body is fresh, that's important. So those things are foundation of our life. If we don't support our body that way, then you won't go far. So you have to make sure that you are taking some time for you. That reservation is important. Otherwise, you will do 101 things. Soon, you will be sick. You will do everything for your children and you won't go far. That issue is there, especially mothers. So, you have to make sure that you are having that reservation. You have to make sure that you take care of yourself. That observation will help you to do. And these type of discussions will help you to do. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante, for those very, very valuable messages. I think we all need these kind of reminders about allocating time for self-care. And the messages that I took today is about how meditation is learning how not to think. And also, it's not about doing, but undoing. There's a lot of depth in those messages. Thank you very much, Bhante, and thank you for those who wrote the reports and sharing their experiences with us so we can all learn together. So that is the end of the report reading. We now move on to the Q&A session. If there are any questions, kindly raise your Zoom hand and we will invite you to ask your question, or even if it's just making a comment, please feel free to do so. I think I see Samantha raising her hand. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Thank you, Anupa. And thank you, Bhante. That was a really interesting talk Bhante gave. I could see, like, I'm just wondering why the mind doesn't naturally want to be in the present moment, even though I can see, as Bhante said, that being in the present moment is very peaceful and it's calming and less stressful. However, I noticed that in my mind, it's more colorful and is when it's unmindful, why the mind wants to sort of like go into a movie like making of the past and the future and this wallowing moments of happiness and stress. It seems to be just like, you know, just be in that mode all the time. So I was wondering whether is that from habit through so many years, a million, whatever, samsara, going samsara, and to be in the present moment, it takes effort. And even though I know being in the present moment, it's less stressful and it's more happier. But yet the mind naturally seems to go into that movie making mode. So I'm just wondering, is it because of my laziness of not making, wanting to make?
I think Samantha became mute. Let me see if I can try and unmute her again.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I muted and then I got muted. I'm not sure which bit. Shall I start from the beginning or, Bante, did you hear?
Probably like first few minutes, only like for 30 seconds I didn't hear.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So basically, I was just thinking why my mind naturally doesn't want to be in the present moment. Is it because of a lack of effort and practice, daily practice? But habitually, it just likes to wallow in, I suppose, in stress, sorrow, you know, rather than because it just goes into the past and the present. And you're just churning and thinking of all sorts of things. I mean, there are moments of positivity, but mostly it's negativity. You know, the stressfulness stuff will come up. And then as soon as you realize, or you just let it go and be in the present moment, then I notice the mind is much calmer and happier. So I'm just wondering why it's habitually the mind tends to want to be thinking mode and not to be in the present moment. Is it because we're going against the, or I'm going to need to practice, make an effort, not be lazy? Constantly, I had to keep on reminding myself to be in the moment. And then I'm going against the grain. And then the more I need to have more practice in my sessions, daily practice to instill this present moment awareness sort of thing.
Okay, so when we think about the present states of your mind, it has past causes, right? So you are saying that your mind is not present. Why is it? Right? It doesn't like the present moment. Why is it? That's your question. So we have to say the past causes, your mind is not present, right? So we can't do anything about the past, no. What can you do? You can create things in the present, create causes for the future. Because past is the cause for the present moment, present is the cause for the future, right? So currently, this is the state of your mind. But make sure that you at least notice few breaths. That ability you already have. If you are saying you don't have that ability, then I don't agree. Right, if you walk for 30 minutes, you can at least notice like 100 or so steps. If you sit for 30 minutes, you can at least notice few breath cycles. That ability we have, all of us have. As humans, we have. It's a birthright, right? So we exercise that ability more and more to create for the future. We meditate to create causes for the future. And in a future day, you'll come and say, now my mind is more and more present. Why? You might ask. The reason is that you have created causes for your mind to be more and more present. This was the same statement somebody else made yesterday, but in different words, of course. That person was saying that I couldn't pay attention earlier, now I can pay attention. My mind was not at peace earlier, now my mind is at peace. And she's not happy with the current status. She's saying, I don't like this. I don't like this peace. I don't like this quietness. Why? She's asking now. Right? Because of the meditation. Because we have created causes in the past. Now the mind is peaceful. Now, your question, if your mind is not peaceful in the present moment, if your mind is not accepting the present moment, you have past causes for it. But you can change it. You can't change the past. You can change it, change the future. How to change the future? Meditate in the present moment. Every breath counts. Every step counts. If you walk for 30 minutes, I'm sure you can catch at least like 200 or so steps, mindful steps, conscious steps. That ability all of us have. It's given. As humans, it's given. If you sit for 30 minutes, you can notice a few hundred breaths. That ability we already have. It's given. So use that foundation. Just don't encourage the wandering mind thinking, why my mind is not present. I know my mind is, mind should be peaceful in the present moment. The present moment is good. Present moment is peaceful. Why? That's also thinking mind. Instead, get to work. What do you have to do? Create causes in the present moment. Every conscious breath, you are creating causes. Every conscious step, you are creating causes. And in a future day, maybe in a few months, you come and say, now my mind is appreciating the present moment, embracing the present moment. If you ask why, on that day I'll tell you due to the past causes, because you have meditated. Fair enough?
Yes, thank you, Bhante. Yeah, that makes this inspirational. Thank you.
I think Panchani has a hand raised. Panchani, you can now unmute and present your question to Bhante. Thank you.
Sarai Bhante, so the mind stays in this huge gap and it really appreciates the present moment when you are in the gap. But however, from time to time, I think it's a habit energy working. So I used to color my hair like since I was 30 years old. So still, even in the gap, I'm noticing these unwanted thoughts are coming. Sometimes because you're in the gap, you're noticing, okay, this thought has come. I'm not going to give any value to it. So it just fades away. But then, at other times, I am making an appointment. I'm still going to the salon. I'm still coloring my hair, but I'm fully aware that I'm doing something just really not important at all. But you're in the gap, but you are noticing all these things. Would you say because you're in the gap, it's kilesas in the mind, but there is less effect, or is it the same? Why is the habit energy so strong, even when the mindful energy is present? These are the questions that I have been contemplating on from my own experience.
Okay, so your mind is present, your mind is peaceful. And you have to appreciate that, like tell it, like praise it, tell the people, tell the audience that my mind is peaceful, my mind is at peace, and I appreciate it. Most people, they don't appreciate it. That was the question from yesterday. That lady, she didn't like it. She didn't like this peace. She didn't like this present moment. I remember that movie Matrix. Right? The reality was so boring, some people, they decided to go to the illusion again. Right? Remember? There was a certain part of it. The reality was so boring, they wanted to go back to the illusion. So at least you are saying that your mind is present. Your mind is appreciating the gap. Right? So that's the part we are focusing. Not the other part. Not the part that the worldly part. It once in a while it becomes worldly. That's fine. That's the nature, right? Buddha nature is there. The worldly nature is there. Both are there. So we are not trying to get rid of it. Instead, we know that the both portions are there, right? You can't express the reality without both the things, right? Buddha nature is there. The worldly nature is there. Both should be there to express the reality, right? The wave nature is there, the particle nature is there. That's what quantum physics, they are saying. Wave nature and the particle nature. You can't explain the reality without both, right? So this is the reality. The Buddha nature is there. Once in a while, you become worldly. So what's the issue? What's the issue? Just color your hair in a totally different new color. Probably in red color or something, right? You can use those options, right? Once in a while, you become worldly. I do use to color my hair. Now only I'm not doing because of these robes. right? When I was at home, I got gray hair maybe by 24, 25. And then I was coloring my hair. Now only I have gray patches. It was not coloring anymore, right? But you are living in the world. You are living a lay life. So color your hair. That's not a problem. We are not into that extreme. You are trying to create everything the Buddha nature. No, the worldly should be there. That is the reality. It's a part of both. Buddha nature is there. The worldly nature is there. Waveform is there. The particle form is there. Quantum physics, they are saying. Without both, we can't explain the reality. So the reality is that worldly nature as well as Buddha nature. Don't try to get rid of the worldly. Instead, once in a while you become worldly, that's fine. Once in a while you enjoy the things that you used to enjoy, what's the issue? Right? So the meditators, they become more and more human, not some alien being. Right? Humans are like this. So you have to appreciate that part as well. Appreciating that part is important. Otherwise, we are not progressing in the meditation, right? We try to appreciate the worldly part as well, not only the Buddha nature. Both, I am a part of both. What's the issue? Partly I am worldly, partly I am Buddha. So this is my nature. This is my nature. So appreciating that nature is important. Otherwise, you'll be in a fight with that worldly nature. Make sure that you are coloring your hair. Make sure that you are using a totally new, different color, maybe orange, red, something bright. That's the idea I want to give.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay. Thank you for the question, Panchani. And now I think we are slightly out of time and we'll wrap up today's session. I would like to associate the merits gained from today's session to Venerable Bhante, who joined us from the Nisarana Vanayaforas Monastery. We wish that these merits will have a positive impact on Bhante's own practice and that we will also be able to gain from Bhante's own expertise moving into the future on this mindfulness journey. And I would like to also wish these merits to be shared with the Most Venerable Bhante Udayarigam Dhammaji Mahathera, the Chief Abbot of the Nisarvane Forest Monastery, for his significant guidance and initiative to in requesting this program to be implemented in this manner. And there is also a wonderful team of organizers behind this program. I would like to associate these merits to them and wish that these merits will have a positive impact on their own practices. Furthermore, much merits for all of you for joining our session, and we would associate all the merits gained to you, to all of you, and wish your own practices will flourish into the future and that you will also be able to be encouraged and have the ability to join the program in many future sessions to come. Now, the program will run into the future on the same format at the same time, and there will be the session next Saturday. I would like to invite all of you for that, and also wish you a happy and mindful week ahead. We will hopefully see you next week. I will end the Zoom session now. Thank you.